Blessed morning to you guys, Cap.
Blessed morning back at you, dog.
Cap it off.
If I'm an NFL team, I have issues with employing Adrian Peterson, as good as he is, who is a documented child abuser.
Where does Adrian Peterson get off making comments? Has no desire to play for the Minnesota Vikings?
Yeah, come on.
How
ungrateful.
Because all that comes out of your mouth is bile.
The Vikings paid him to embarrass them last year, essentially.
And the Vikings, when it first came out, they stood by him. They wanted to put him on the field, and then the fandom went crazy.
And what are the Cowboys thinking? Yeah. I have a hard time with that.
And so do I.
I'm really at a loss for words here.
You know where they might not have as hard of a time with that?
Dallas?
That's right. You get down
Texas?
You get down into Texas.
From Texas.
Right. That's where he learned. That's what he would say. This is how I was raised. This is how I learned. I'm doing what I know best.
If Adrian Peterson is a Cowboy, they would not only root for him, but it would be a throaty cheer. Jerry Jones might cry.
Yeah, though that kid deserved it. He's going to be better off. You watch. He'll be a straight-A student one day because of what his papa did.
In all my years of radio, I've never seen anything like this.
From the seventh floor of the Tribune Towers.
Boy, this has been tremendously tremendous.
In downtown Chicago.
Chicago!
Beauty.
Come on, sucker.
He is moving like a tremendous machine.
Let's get it on.
It's the Cap and Haw Show.
Everyone has to do their job.
We're going
to
ball until we fall.
That's a shot and a beer.
Do your job.
That's the Hazleton way.
Let's begin now.
Yes!
Good morning, Cap and Haw Show, CSN Chicago, and WGNplus.com. I'm David Haw. Mark Carman is in here for Dave Kaplan, who is traveling and might make it here before the end of the show. A few travel and weather-related delays for the Capman, who did a basketball game in Dayton, Ohio last night. He hopes to be here. Mike Jacobson is behind the glass, keeping us on track here, along with Matt Rooney and Pat Gastel, who make sure that we are on television on CSN Chicago. And we have a big show today. It's a big day for the Chicago Bulls, big day for Chicago sports fans. Derrick Rose, we believe, is either undergoing surgery or has underwent surgery this morning to repair the torn meniscus in his right knee. Gar Forman, the general manager for the Chicago Bulls, will have a press conference at 10:30 to address Derrick Rose's timeline, his recovery, and how surgery went. We will carry that live here on CSN. So stay with us at 10:30. Gar Forman will speak, address the media at a press conference at the United Center. It will be on CSN Chicago and WGNplus.com. This is perhaps the biggest day of the year for the Bulls.
Let me ask you a question. How do you feel about the words successful surgery? Because you know you're going to hear that from Gar Forman, that he had successful surgery.
Well, I don't know that we can define that yet.
Right.
Here's the definition of success. If you're referring to today's surgery, I guess if you're a Bulls fan, if you're the Bulls organization, Derrick Rose returns pain-free and he returns before the end of this season in a way that he can help contribute to a long, deep playoff run. So to pronounce it today successful, I think we'll be, we understand it's going to be an optimistic tone to this. You hope.
Right.
You hope. Worst case scenario, he comes out and he says, what is the worst case scenario? I'm going to tell you what I think it is. To me, the worst case scenario would be Dr. Brian Cole went in. It was something that they saw something they didn't expect. They took the conservative route for the best long-term future of Derrick Rose, and he's going to be out for the season. Now, that I say that's worst case scenario, and yet that might be the best for him long term. I don't want to evaluate what they might say. We'll hear it at 10:30. But I think that today there's a lot of anticipation, anxiety, and I think just overall concern about Derrick Rose and his future.
No question. Here's what I want to hear. They went in there. It was a minor procedure. We expect to have Derrick back, and Derrick is excited about being back. If we hear that, that's your best case, right? The worst case would be, for me, just complete ambiguity. We went in, they found some stuff, they were able to remove it, and Derrick will begin his rehab in a couple of weeks, and we'll see how it goes. That's probably what we're going to get, if I had to bet.
I don't know about that, Carm. I'm surprised that the Bulls have been this proactive in calling a 10:30 press conference, in wanting to address the media as quickly after the surgery as they do, as they're going to, and have been as open about their optimism. Casey Johnson was one of the asked where Bulls reporters should have been last night to cover the charity event, the team's, the organizational function. Michael Reinsdorf was there. Gar Foreman was there. John Paxson was there. Anybody you wanted to talk to about what the state of the situation is was there. And Casey Johnson talked to them all. And they all were consistent in the optimism they shared over the, you know, what's at stake here and what they expect to happen. Now, you're right. If they're ambiguous at 10:30, if Gar has things to say that maybe don't lead you to believe that Derek could come back this year, that it could have been worse than they expected, then then it's going to be a long weekend. But I don't know that I get the sense that that's going to be the case.
It was great head hitting the pillow last night, putting on a little Comcast Sportsnet, watching a little Jen Latta and Mark Schanowski, and seeing John Paxson at said event and say, hey, you know, maybe let's get rid of some discomfort here. Derek will be back better than ever. And I'm like, that's exactly what I want to hear, man.
Well, Pax raised a good point. Maybe this will be better than it has been, which suggested that Derek Rose has been struggling
exactly
with knee pain or discomfort that we don't know the extent of which he has been dealing with. And when Tom Thibodeau went back and the day after he missed the practice after the All-Star break, he says he's been dealing with some stuff. And you're like, you scratch your head. You're like, what stuff could he be dealing with? Maybe this is something he's dealt with all year, Carm.
If you judge it by his performance, which has been up and down, you would think that that's the case, right? If he was feeling great, if everything mm-hmm. was...
And he looks like he's been pained.
Yes.
Doesn't he?
Yes.
I mean, what I have called and referred to frustratingly as nonchalant and the casual approach, maybe it's just a guy in some discomfort. I mean, you look at old guys who walk around, guys like me, guys like you, who, well, I'll speak for me.
Go all ahead. Right. I'm in immense pain right now.
Who get up in the morning and maybe your back is a little sore. Maybe you worked out a little bit longer than you planned to the day before and you feel it the next day. And then you have that expression on your face all morning like, oh, God. You know, that's the way Derrick Rose has seemed the first part of this season.
Plus,
maybe this explains why.
Yeah, plus, you throw in some ankle sprains and other stuff that he was dealing with that probably exacerbated anything else. He was
trying to guard elite point guards.
Right. Drove down the lane against the Toronto Raptors. His whole leg gives out. That wasn't a good sign. So maybe he's been – I would assume he has been dealing with some stuff. We'll see. We will hear
from Gar Foreman, 10:30, live press conference carried here at CSN Chicago and WGNplus.com. But we're also going to talk about up until then some other stuff, because last night was another big night for the Blackhawks. And that was the way that you respond – to adversity. We're going to talk to Eddie Olczyk, who was at that game. 9:55, Eddie is going to join us and talk about the 3-0 victory over the Florida Panthers. In a way, a victory that was textbooked if you're a Blackhawks fan. That's exactly what you wanted to see. It's exactly what you wanted out of your goaltender. You get a shutout from Corey Crawford after he had to watch Scott Darling replace him two nights earlier in a victory. And Corey Crawford was a better goaltender than he was over the weekend. He got better defense in front of him. And Teuvo Teravainen,
that's your guy,
took 3 minutes and 18 seconds to announce to everybody that he is here to help.
That's officially your guy.
I don't know about that. I like watching Teuvo.
You want some Teuvo time, and you got it last night.
I can't deny. I get a little more excited watching Teuvo do the things with the puck that he can do, because there aren't very many guys that can do that.
Right. It's an exciting player. T-squared, baby. And off that play.
T-squared. I saw somebody tweet me TNT.
I like it.
Because he is explosive.
TNT is nice. Solid. And it came off a nice Andrew Shaw hit right at the start. Let's, hey, buddy, you're not Petrovic, but you are Kulikov. I'll take you into the boards and we'll get a nice goal. Yeah, that's right. The Blackhawks are coming in here. And we will remember, but we're going to play it clean and we're going to get a victory.
That is an astute hockey observation, Carm.
Well, you like that?
Yeah, I do.
Huh?
That is.
I've been working on it.
You know what? The third line, and I was talking with Matt Rooney, who knows his hockey, this morning before the show. Bickle and Shaw came with a purpose last night, and they were surrounding Teuvo on that third line. And Matt Rooney made a very good observation that maybe Shaw is more comfortable playing forward than he is center, and he can be more physical and do things that make his presence felt in a way that he was unable to playing center. And when Andrew Shaw has the limitations that he does physically, he's got to feel comfortable and aggressive and able to be that impact guy. He had 7 hits in the first 2 periods.
That's beautiful.
That's unheard of. And the third and fourth lines last night, when they play like that, you see why guys like me talked about the loss to Patrick Kane, saying everybody needs to do a little bit more, and the depth of the Blackhawks give you hope that they can withstand the loss of a Patrick Kane, even though you can't replace a Patrick Kane. And last night, the third and fourth lines were great.
As you started it, that was the formula. This is what you need. Low scoring and guys stepping up. And let's give Brandon Saad a little props. I mean, although that goal was...
Oh, that Saad was all over the place.
I mean, he was everywhere.
Saad.
The goal, though, I mean, he whipped,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, well, the goal was misleading because it did look like he was going to come off like a rocket. He kind of mishit it a little bit. It came off, and I think it was described by Eddie as a changeup.
Right.
And Luongo was like, he was ready. He was braced for this laser, and all of a sudden it floated right over him. It was great. It was like a changeup in baseball.
And in tennis terms, David, because I know you love tennis too.
Yeah, right.
That was the old mishit that went in, and which I had a nice one yesterday. Down the line, off the backhand, it was a beauty.
I love that we got a tennis reference 11 minutes into the show.
I figured I've been holding out on you, but
right.
I figured you needed one.
So Eddie O, 9:55, Gar Forman press conference, 10:30. Your comments, questions, input, 312-235-2525. Carm in for the Catman, who is on the way. And this is the Cap and Haw Show, CSN Chicago, and WGNplus.com. And the 9 a.m. hour is sponsored by Apt Electronics. We'll be back right after this.
Now, more Cap and Haw on Comcast SportsNet and WGN+.
Teemu Teravainen in right circle. Since he scores! Teemu Teravainen took the loose puck into the right circle and snaps it past Roberto Luongo.
Of course, someone needs to step up, or everybody needs to step up a little bit because Kane is so good player. So, but I don't know. I don't think too much. I just try to be myself there.
I think he's progressed. You know, a young kid. You got to feel the league. You know, and protecting the puck, battle areas, defensively responsibility. You know where people are around the ice. He's a very astute player. And, you know, when he has the puck, he's got some real nice awareness to his game. But that was a nice play.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was, Coach Q. It was a very nice play. Cap and Haw, Mark Carman in for the Cap Man. CSN Chicago, WGNplus.com, talking about Teemu Teravainen, who took all of 3 minutes and 8 seconds to make his impact felt, replacing Patrick Kane. Okay, he's not replacing Patrick Kane. But, okay, I will let Joel Quenneville take things in stride, and they Teemu is just, yeah, he's progressing nice, astute player.
He's got
some nice things with the puck. He can relax, but I think that when you watch Teemu, I've always been the guy who's probably been a little bit over my skis with Teemu Teravainen. I was there the first night he debuted, and you see him do things with the puck that are just innate, and you see things that he effortless, even the way that he scored that goal last night. Now, sure, Shaw made the great play against the boards, and the great pass, and it was a nice little give and go. And Teemu, though, it was like a look away pass in basketball. He froze Luongo, it seemed like, and all of a sudden, next thing you know, it's in the back of the net. And it was a very skilled goal, and it was very well timed, and it gave the Blackhawks this sense. They take a 1-0 lead on the road, which that sounded like a Hawks game. Let's go Hawks, cheers.
Enough with hockey in Florida, but it's great for the Blackhawks.
It's great. But they needed that at that time, and it seemed like they had a confidence, and they came with a purpose, and they executed everything they wanted to do. Saad had that goal, then Jonathan Toews with a nice empty netter at the end. 3-0. Corey Crawford makes 20 saves. That is the way that you answer adversity.
It was interesting from the Q standpoint, as far as he's not really willing to give too much love to a Teemu right now. It's almost like he's got some Tibbs in him. The two of them are similar that way. Young player, you're going to have to earn it before I'm going to start praising you to the media. Listen, you just got here even though you've been here before. Yeah, okay, it was nice, but I'm not going to go over the top on him.
I like it, though. Right? I like it. I think that you see, let us make too much of Teemu Teravainen. Let us give him the hype that he has to deal with. Let us try and make comparisons and look at him and the way he even handles himself after the game and compare his young days to Patrick Kane's early days when they're very similar. I mean, you look at Teemu even facially, and he looks so youthful. He looks like a teenage kid the way Patrick Kane was a teenage kid when he came into the league. Let us do that. Now, Q's got the right approach, and I think players have the right approach. This is a guy that's been up and down by Rockford. He's been humbled a little bit. Not that he needed to be, but I think he's been reminded of his place in the NHL. And let's face it, when you're getting, when you're losing a guy with Patrick Kane's ability to create, to make everybody around him better, you need somebody with. Teuvo Teravainen is a nice alternate plan.
And the reality is you're not going to go out and get somebody who's going to be some massive offensive impact here. I mean, this is the best resource they have.
Right now, you have some flexibility, though. Let's wait and see until Monday.
You think so, huh?
Let's wait and see. I think that Stan Bowman can get creative. I think that he has some wiggle room, cap-wise. I think that he stepped forward last night, and for general managers and professional sports teams who keep everything close to the vest, he surprised me by saying we're close. You don't say you're close unless you absolutely are pretty sure you're going to make a deal.
Something's coming, no doubt.
And here's what he had to say when he took a break during the game to talk to reporters about the trade deadline that looms on Monday.
Getting pretty close, but until it's done, it's not done. I wouldn't want to characterize anything until you get the word that yes, we have a deal and we'll do the trade call. I've seen enough things you think are going to happen that don't quite work out. So we're not there yet. We've had a lot of good discussions today, and hopefully we'll get there.
That's pretty confident that they're going to do something. He sounded pretty sure of himself. We can stop waxing poetic about the possibility of Jaromir Jagr.
You didn't get emotional
Chicago.
Yesterday?
I was a little emotional. I thought that would be good. I thought it would be fun. But the Florida Panthers, who want to get to the playoffs, they need some names. They need some, a box office draw. They made the trade for the 43-year-old, and he's a Florida Panther.
Yeah, there was a bunch of stuff going around the internet showing that J-A-G-R going on the Panthers jersey, looking for a little juice down there in Florida, which they need. I mean, let's be real. You're trying to play
hockey
in Florida.
They do. They're trying to get people into the seats so that you don't have visitors come in and hear, let's go Hawks, or let's go Blue Jackets, or let's go whoever.
You want to put the David Haw out there as far as a guess is who's coming in? You want to make a play here? Reading the Bowman tea leaves, so to speak.
There are not as many people out there as before. I mean, Vermette is still out there. Petrie is still out there. From what I understand, he's still, unless there's a deal that's been made in the last couple hours, as we were furiously checking NHL.com and Blackhawks.com. And I think because our Blackhawks traveling contingent, the media contingent, is traveling right now because they play the Tampa Bay Lightning tonight, 6:30, right here on CSN. Chicago, and I think you have a fun game tonight. Another fun game tonight.
Have we seen who's announced in net tonight? Are we going
good
back?
Question.
To, are we going back to?
I
back?
Don't think they have.
I'm checking a Chris Cook on Twitter right now. What would I do?
What would you do? Because yesterday, it is interesting. A lot of people thought Eddie Olczyk included. We'll talk to him at 9:55. Thought you'd stick with Darling, and you get back to back games after Corey Crawford pitches a shutout. Who do you go to tonight?
If it's me, I'm always worried about fatigue and whatnot, so I'm playing Scott Darling.
It's the Lightning. It's the big leagues. Step up in class.
Well, that's why I would have played Darling last night.
I probably would have done that too.
I would have rolled
him. But yet, can I say this without sounding like, this is like a Hawks love fest right now? The way that Joe Quenneville handled himself this week, in retrospect, looking back, masterful. Masterful response to adversity. I know they're playing the Panthers, but look, you had Corey Crawford that was reeling after the back-to-back losses, and Antti Raanta replaces him on Sunday. Remember him? Okay, he's down in the minors. They bring up Darling. Whatever statement it was supposed to make, it made had to make some sort of impact on Crawford. Darling plays, wins a shootout, and then Crawford comes in last night as his second shutout of the season. This is what Joel Quenneville had to say about the way he handled this situation this week.
Yeah, I thought it was a good response. And I mean, we just wanted to give the other guy a chance, maybe change the momentum there with him. And I'm getting him back in there today. It was why he played and did what we were looking for.
He absolutely did that.
Okay.
So whatever he does tonight, Carm, we may second guess it, but he's on a roll. And I will say this, throughout the years, Joe Quenneville does have a pretty good knack with what goaltender to go with. I was surprised he did not stick with the hot hand, but all's well that ends well.
I'm never a guy who's going to question Coach Q. It's just not it's really not a safe place to be. You got to believe in what Joel's doing. I'll give you one other little sidebar here.
Okay.
Jonathan Toews, talking about Kane being out. He's the first guy that I've seen step. We believe that we can do it. without him. I think there's when you
said we can, and by what you say, what he means, they can win the cup.
Right.
He said they can win the cup without him.
Right. We can hang on here, yeah. And when he comes back, he's the first.
Did
guy.
You expect anything else?
No, I didn't. But but only from him, because when you're Taze,
right.
You know, they're buddies. I get it. They hug all the time. You on the ice, you see that. I believe them to like each other. I really do.
It's genuine.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. But
they're not punching each other.
On the other hand, if you're
Taze, no fist fights there.
There's still, if you're Jonathan Taze, you're a competitive guy, and you're gonna believe that. Hey, yes, this is my buddy. This is my partner. But if he's gone, I could still hold this down. I'm Jonathan Taze, and that
you like that.
I do. I love it.
The response on the ice, the response in the dressing room from your captain to your fourth line. That was the way a championship team responds. And that is the way the Hawks did last night. 312-235-2525. Randy and Waukegan, Terrence and Madison, Christian in Schaumburg, Chris in Rogers Park. We will get to you after this. Karm is in for the Cap Man. Cap and Haw, see us in Chicago on WGNplus.com.
It's the Cap and Haw Show on WGN Plus and Comcast Sportsnet.
We've had a lot of contact with a lot of different teams on lots of different types of trades. So you're never quite sure when they're going to break. So we're working at it. We're going to keep working hard. It's only Thursday. You know, we have until Monday. So that's not to say we're waiting till Monday, but there's still a lot of talk that will take place between now and then. And, you know, we're hopeful to close something.
That was Stan Bowman last night in Sunrise, Florida, between periods at the Hawks-Florida Panthers game. The Hawks victory 3-0. He's talking about the trade rumors. Cap and Haw Show, CSN Chicago and WGNplus.com. David Haw with Mark Carman, who is in for the Cap Man. And Carm, a lot of people want to weigh in on the text line, want to ask questions about the rumors about the fistfight. David Deal.
What do you know, David Haw? I know you know something about this. David, this caught me off guard.
David Deal, who is a former New York Giant offensive lineman, Fox football analyst, Chicago guy.
Deal's got the story, huh?
Eh. He tweets yesterday about it's bad enough that Patrick Kane gets hurt, but talk of a fist fight, that crosses the line. Something to that effect. I'm not even going to reread it because it wasn't true. So it creates a Twitter storm, and let's face it, there have been rumors about the Blackhawks' internal team chemistry for a while now. And until we have something to report, they're just that. They're rumors. And to me, it's irresponsible to go forward with information that you have half-truths about, that you have not fully reported, that you have not fully confirmed. You know, at some point in time, you still have to remember that there is a journalism aspect to all of this. Even though we do deal in the talk radio, talk sports, or, you know, gossip industry, there's still a responsibility there. There's nothing that's been proven to be true. There might be chemistry issues. This is what we know. Chris Cook approached Jonathan Taze yesterday in light of this. Chris Cook covers the Hawks for the Chicago Tribune and asked him about rumors of the fist fight. And the answer was, you know, I think Taze made light of it. And he said, there's no fist fight in the dressing room. Players were joking about it when they heard about it during lunch. Tracy Myers, same way. Mark Lazarus from the Sun-Times, three sources told him there was no fist fight involving the Hawks recently. Could there have been something earlier in the offseason that some people want to, you know, project about? I've heard the same stories, guys. I've heard a lot of it. I've heard all the stories. I've heard that about Patrick Sharp and the chemistry issues that might exist surrounding him. But Joe Quenneville laughed off the fistfight rumor. Players, sources, people around the team were asked about it, denied it. That's all we know right now. And that's as far as it will go until something else changes that.
Let's just say for argument's sake that Patrick Sharp had a fist fight with any player in the Blackhawks locker room. Does that mean that Patrick Sharp has to go in your mind? Or the other player?
No.
Right? That's how I look at it. A little fist fight between two hockey guys.
Let me tell you why Patrick Sharp.
And by the way, if it did happen, the Blackhawks clearly don't feel that way because he's still here. And I don't believe the fight to have happened recently.
Let me tell you where I am with the Patrick Sharp trade rumors. Patrick Kane is out for 12 weeks. You're going to go into the playoffs, and you're going to wonder about what? How are you going to score? How are you going to get the puck in the back of the net? I know he's had an invisible season for the most part. I also know that Patrick Sharp has a streakiness to him that when he gets to the postseason, if he gets on a hot streak, you want him on your team. And now you need him on your team. If they trade Patrick Sharp before the Monday deadline, your antenna will go up, and it might be something that makes you think, there must be something more to this story. And yet I don't expect that to happen. Based on what people have talked to, I don't expect it to happen. It could. Things change all the time in sports. But I think they need Patrick Sharp, and I think that overrides any other aspect.
And by the way, Patrick Sharp was the first guy to throw his weight around after the Patrick Kane injury. That happened too.
Excellent point. Let's go to the phone lines, 312-235-2525. Randy is Waukegan. Good morning, Randy.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Doing well.
I've been listening to you this morning, and you covered most of my conversation points. The way the Hawks have responded and the way the Bulls have responded to their injured superstars, you really couldn't see two different ways of handling it. The Bulls seem to be, oh, woe is me and have pity on me. And the Hawks come out last night and said, you know what, we're going to show the rest of this hockey world and all of you sports fans out there that, yeah, we miss our star, but we're going to go out and we're going to play hockey the way it's meant to be played. We're going to be aggressive. We're going to be smart. We're going to be determined. And, you know, pro sports, it's really what separates the great teams from the not-so-great teams is the mental approach that they take to the game. The talent level is pretty much equal amongst all those teams. But when you take a team like the Hawks that has the leadership starting with Coach Q, and it flows down through Jonathan Toews and Brent Seabrook and the rest of the veterans on that squad, their mental approach makes them so much ahead of the game that, you know, you compare that with the mental approach the Bulls take, and it's like it's night and day.
Well, Randy, I appreciate the phone call. I think you make a valid point. I will say this. It's much easier to overcome the loss of a star in hockey where you're rolling four lines and there's three guys in each line and there's more of a team concept and you're involving more people than it is when – you're in the NBA, everything revolves around your superstar, and Derrick Rose, love him or hate him, is still your star.
Yeah, and you got to give the Bulls a break. Listen, last year Rose went out, they lost 11-14, everybody thought the season was over, and then they turned into a team that battled the entire way, and the year before that, they won a first-round playoff series without him. The Bulls are not a mentally weak team. Let's not jump to conclusions over one Charlotte
too early
loss.
To have that
they'll
opinion.
Yeah, they'll bounce back and give everything they have.
They play tonight. Got an opportunity tonight against your guy,
Andrew Wiggins,
and the Minnesota Timberwolves.
The Wiggy Wiggy Shake. I'm very excited about Wiggy coming in.
Can you demonstrate that later?
Absolutely. Okay. I got something for you.
Back to the phones. Christian is in Schaumburg. Good morning, Christian. Welcome to the program.
How's it going?
Doing well.
So, you know, you got Teravainen. He's a young gun. He's going to be a great player. As long as he keeps doing what he does best at, you know, Hawks have more depth to that team. So, you know, that's good there. You got a Sharp, you know, with all this trade line rumor stuff. You know, he's such a good player. Like you said, he has his streaks of, you know, whatever. Once he's hot, and he definitely want him on your team. With the injury with Kane, yeah, it's a misfortune. But, you know, Hawks have that depth where they can carry on through the playoffs.
Agree, Christian. It's going to be a good test. Thanks for making the phone call. Tavo is going to have to grow up in a hurry. You have to sustain this sort of impact if Joe Quenneville trusts him enough to leave him on the ice. And I think at this point, you don't have many other better options. But he's a young guy who is prone to inconsistency. Well, let's wait and see if he can sustain this.
Yeah, speaking of jumping to conclusions, I'm not ready to go all the way to, they can just carry on throughout the playoffs with Patrick Kane after one win over the Florida
Panthers.
Either.
No, right? I'm not either. I mean, I love the confidence. I love the response. But you're talking about a guy who was playing at an MVP level. You just don't move on and not miss and notice that he's gone and miss his presence. Let's go to Mike in Indiana. Good morning, Mike. Welcome to the program.
Hi. My comment is I think that Quenneville was overplaying Kane, and he was complaining about being fatigued in the past. And maybe if he didn't play him so much and cut his minutes down a little bit to the normal level,
Mike,
he wouldn't have got hurt.
Mike, it happened in the first period.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean he hasn't been playing him a lot.
He hasn't played him a lot. He's been doubling up on the power play. He's an MVP-level player. I don't connect any sort of fatigue to a first-period injury where he lost his balance and was shoved from behind and crashed into the boards awkwardly. I don't know how you put the two and two together and get four.
I don't know. I watched a lot of Blackhawks over this last 20 years, and I think his ice time was way too much.
Well, but you can think that, but how does that relate to an injury that probably could have happened if he had fresh legs and it was in the same situation? How does fatigue lead to him losing his balance and crashing into the boards?
Because he was being overplayed. I disagree with you.
Well, hey, Mike, where do you think he ranks on the Blackhawks right now in minutes?
Somewhere over the somewhere towards the top.
Well, yes,
for the forwards.
Somewhere towards the top. He's fifth on the team in minutes.
In terms of forwards?
In forwards, he's the first.
So, okay, yeah, I think
there you go.
But I think it's
invalid. Thanks for making the phone call, and I will disagree with you. I respect your opinion, but I think you've been listening to too much Tom Thibodeau, Bulls Minute Police.
It's
minutes of the meeting. I think the Minutes Academy needs to disband, because this is not about Patrick Kane doubling up on the power play and double shifting led to his awkward fall into the boards when he got hit from behind, shoved from behind.
Kane's playing 19 minutes, almost 20 minutes of ice time. Kane's is 1943. Kane specifically is 1951. Marion Hossa is at 1827. If he played 1 minute less, is he not going to fall in that play? I mean, come on.
Something bad happens, we want to blame somebody. I get it. Petrovic is the guy that you want to, you know, assign blame to. He sort of apologized. I saw the pregame interview yesterday where he said that he's going to get Kane's number from Brian Campbell and call to see what's up and all that thing. I think, though, that they dealt with it in the way they should have dealt with it. Patrick Sharp took him out in that game, and then they came back last night with a physical response in an intense game, and they played 60 minutes of playoff-level hockey. That's the way you answer something like that.
And no one thinks that Petrovic was trying to hurt Patrick Kane. That'd be a ridiculous take. I'm going to try to take Patrick Kane out so we can win this game in the middle of February or the end of February versus the Blackhawks.
Well, no, he didn't. He didn't, Carmi.
Right.
Patrick Kane was so fatigued that his legs buckled out from under him from the double shifting and the extra power play minutes that he fell into the boards.
If Tom Thibodeau or Joel Quivel played guys, though, 48 minutes, David Haugh would have no problem with it. You're just like, hey, these guys are athletes. Put them on.
I mean, I don't have an issue with that. I've never been one of the, you know, I don't have a badge in the minutes police. I don't really think that there's a lot there.
Are you the same with the pitch count? If John Lester's throwing 130 a night, are you good with that?
I think every situation is different. I think the context of each pitcher, his arm, where he is in the season, where he is in the game, I don't have a hard and fast rule.
Okay, but you got a guy on the Bulls that Derrick Rose had two knee surgeries, and you think he should be out there a bunch, right?
I think that he should play according to the need, and I think that if you're trying to back me into a corner,
I'm doing my best here.
He did not have Derrick Rose being on the court during the blowout against the Bucks had nothing to do with what's going on this morning.
I won't argue with you there.
What's going on this morning is Derrick Rose is either undergoing or has undergone knee surgery to repair his torn meniscus. We will have a press conference here at 10:30. Gar Forman will meet the media right here on CSN and tell us the timetable for Derrick Rose. So stay with us here. And we'll give you the update on the Bulls and what is next for Mr. Rose.
I'm on nonstop Twitter refresh here. Nothing
new?
Nothing yet.
Okay. You keep us posted. That is your duty. Carm is in for the Capman on Cap and Haw on CSN Chicago and WGNplus.com. Get the ultimate experience with the all-new Samsung Curved 4K Ultra HD TV at Apt in Glenview. With the Samsung 4K Curved Ultra HD, you get the fastest internet and smart TV functions available. Come into Apt today to see the complete selection of Samsung electronics or call them at 847-544-2228. That's 847-544-2228 for complete satisfaction, free delivery, and a better experience. Shop Apt, pleasing people since 1936. Eddie Olczyk coming up at 9:55. More Hawks and Bulls talk right after this. Cap and Haw on CSN Chicago and WGNplus.com.
Now back to Cap and Haw on WGNplus.com and CSN Chicago.
It's hard to see the hit when it's played in real time at all. Obviously, it was a freak play and terribly unfortunate from Patrick Kane's standpoint in the Blackhawks, and we wish him a speedy recovery. This is a physical game.
Indeed it is. Gary Bettman, the NHL commissioner, talking at the Bruins Canucks game, I believe, on Thursday night, referencing the Patrick Kane injury and what it means to the Hawks, and frankly, what it means to the league. You lose your leading MVP candidate for 12 weeks, and it's going to be difficult to accept. You don't like to see that. Nobody likes to see that. Cap and Haw, Mark Carmen in for the Capman, who's on his way. CSN Chicago and WGMplus.com. So last night, Carm, Texter makes an interesting point. We're going to get your calls, 312-235-2525. It says the Hawks responded very well. The guys were playing as if their jobs were on the line and don't want to be traded. You know, when you think about it, it's not a crazy idea. The third and fourth line for the Blackhawks really set the tone for that game. And when you look at who's on the third and fourth lines, Ben Smith, who was really active last night, better than he has been in previous games, Bickle, all over the place. Andrew Shaw, all over the place. All three of those names I have heard bandied about in trade rumors this week.
I think it's probably more so not getting traded, but the fact that, look, you go through this dreary regular season when you've played as many games as the Hawks, as much success as the Hawks. Mm-hmm. Well, Patrick Kane's out now, so it completely changes everything. Everybody's has to up the ante. It's more on you. You get to show more what you can do or what you need to do. Nobody ever wants to leave the Blackhawks, whether it's now or...
Why would you?
You're playing in the greatest city for an incredible organization.
Hockey town.
With a fan base that's rabid. Where do you want to go? Seriously.
You think it had to do with the sunshine? Everybody could use a little sunshine, right? I mean, look outside. It's sunshining today, I think, although we have the blinds drawn here. This is the darkest room in the building because we need the lighting to make us look like we're alive.
Yeah, normally
with the right colors on today.
Back in the radio days, we'd have, we could actually look outside.
They get down
here
to sunny Florida, and maybe they're like, wow. They spent so much time. They had the 8-game homestand in the third coldest February in Chicago history. Maybe they just needed to get out of town.
No way. I'd go the opposite. If I was in Florida and I was a Blackhawk right now, with my motivation at times, I wouldn't have wanted to leave the pool. There's no way I would have wanted to play hockey.
Maybe it's just sunshine. Maybe it was just the emotional lift of seeing those llamas rescued yesterday. You paying any attention to that?
No, I didn't. Like, there was llamas rescued?
Were there llamas on the loose?
Were the llamas? Hang on a second. Llamas rescued.
Arizona. Sun City. I think it was Sun City, Arizona.
Jacobson, you wear the llama rescue?
You missed the llama controversy?
Apparently I did. Actually, not apparently, I did miss the...
All over CNN. CNN is all over that.
I love it. There they are. Oh, okay. Llamas running down the old highway, huh?
Yes. There was a
How'd
white llama.
Out?
There was a black llama. They came together. It was a beautiful thing for America.
I mean, I'm a big fan of the llama. It's a nice animal.
Don Lemon was anchoring that coverage. Good old NBC. They had a llama in studio? They had a llama in studio.
Lemon was all over
Lemon
the llama?
Lemon and a llama. That sounds like a programming
two
idea.
Two quick-footed llamas that dashed in and out of traffic in Phoenix area, in a retirement community. The llamas in the retirement
community.
They were
there for llama therapy.
Caused a stir in the streets and on social media. I don't know where I was. Apparently not following along.
Oh, it captured. It gripped the nation, Carm. It gripped the nation.
See, I've just changed my Twitter feeds. It's just, all I have is everybody who covers the Bulls because I'm looking for Rose News. Apparently that X'd me out a lot.
Let's go to the phones. 312-235-2525. Chris is in Rogers Park. Morning, Chris. Welcome to Cap and Haw.
Morning, guys. I love the show.
Thank you.
Quick Hawks note here. I mean, the playoffs can get pretty nasty. So, and trades are coming. So, do you think one of those trades should be maybe like for one of the biggest goons from here to the ECHL, maybe protect our other stars from getting injured like that? I know it wasn't a dirty hit, but I mean, in the playoffs, the hits can get dirty.
Well, Crystal, let me ask you a question to your question. What's Brian Bickle here for? And how would you feel about moving Brian Bickle, whose playoff experience proves he can be pretty valuable in that role that you just described in the postseason?
Yeah, I can see that point. I mean, like Bickle pretty much comes up big in the playoffs. I mean, 2013 is a testament to that. But maybe, I don't know, maybe just one more guy. Maybe kind of supplement Carcillo, but, you know, a guy that doesn't take bad penalties like Carcillo can do.
But you don't really want somebody from the ECHL.
This is
the playoff run you're talking about. No, the point's well taken, although I think they're looking for offense. I think they're looking for an experienced D-man to be in their top six. And I think that – thanks for making the call, Chris. Michael Roosevelt sat out last night, and I have been hearing from people via Twitter, via email, that there's no coincidence that the Hawks pitched a shutout the night that Michael Roosevelt watched from the press box.
I'm all on board on that. He was so...
He's hard. He's an easy, convenient scapegoat, and it's not just one guy ever, whether it's a goaltender or a defenseman. But his mistakes seem to have been magnified and his limitations exploited.
The Bruins game ended it for me with Roosevelt. He was so incredibly bad.
And that first goal was bad.
All three of them.
Yeah, I know, but the first goal just makes you think Bergeron right there. Flat-footed Roosevelt.
How about the behind-the-back, whatever you call it, pass to no one that ended up in the sixth goal right before the end of the second? I mean, he was brutal.
That's not good.
And then he took a penalty after they had a penalty because he got cross-checked, and then he overreacted by throwing his stick.
He's a convenient scapegoat, though, Carm. You don't hear a lot of people complaining as much about Duncan Keith or Brent Seabrook. And I think they have earned the benefit of the doubt, but Michael Roosevelt clearly has not. Let's go to Joe, who is in Vegas. Hey, Joe, how you doing?
Hey, guys, good morning. Great show.
Thank you.
Callers are making some good points, man. We traded away 6'5" Hayes, but that's beside the point. Hayes has been lights out with the Panthers. I mean, we've seen that in the last couple of games. What's getting me, all right, you got a 240-pounder that knocks Kane in the back. Okay, we're trying to get this out, but okay. We'll let this commissioner say whatever he wants to say. What's ticking me off? Nobody's calling Jonathan Toews to the table. Where has he been at? He's having one of his worst years as a captain. Oh, we've had a bad night. We're just not cross-checking and doing what we're supposed to. He gets an empty netter last night. Wow, for his 19th goal. Come on, guys. How come you guys don't call him out?
Well, because, Joe, I'll tell you what. His goal scoring might be down.
Please do.
No.
Please do.
No. I can't do it, Joe. I don't see it. I don't see the same thing you see.
Toews is having the worst year.
I don't think it is.
Look at his stats. Dave, come on.
It's more than just stats, Joe. Joe, we love you, but it's more than stats.
What? An empty netter? An empty netter? Really? How many of them has he had? Do you know?
Joe,
I don't know. I think one.
Five of them.
Five empty netters?
Joe, you just said,
look. And he couldn't even hold on to the puck last night when they passed it to him. Oops, I let my stick down. I couldn't get the puck. Come on, guys. Don't be blind.
All right, Joe. Joe, thanks for watching.
He's the captain.
Appreciate your phone call. All right.
Is plus minus an important category in hockey?
That's what they tell me, Carm. It can be overrated, though.
Okay. Well,
but go ahead. Tell me.
If you're the best on the team at plus 21, by the way, the closest to that is Duncan Keith at plus 16. I think that's probably worth something.
I know this. I know faceoffs matter. And I know last night Jonathan Toews won 21 of 28 faceoffs. Last I checked, I'm not a math major, but that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Getting the puck on a faceoff. Keep
that's three out of every four, I'm told in my ear. I knew that. 21 out of 28. That's you're batting 750. That's a good percentage.
Trade Toews. Listen to, what was that, Joe? Was that Joe?
That was Joe in Vegas. We love you, Joe. We thank you for watching out there in Vegas, but I cannot agree that the Hawks' problems include a list that says that Jonathan Toews is having a terrible year.
Terrible year, Toews.
No. Maybe we'll ask Eddie Olczyk about that. We'll ask him about some other stuff. Nice. Eddie O coming up right after the break. Mark Carman in for the Cap Man. David Haw here on the Cap and Haw Show, CSN Chicago, and WGNplus.com.